You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where writers and readers meet, and story is everything.
We're your hosts, Jim and Bobby Jean Bell, and we're excited to have you join us tonight. Who do we have as our guests?
We have Jennifer Herron and Bobby Marquez.
Yes, and let me tell you a little bit about Jennifer Herron. She's a member of the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame DJ, an Emmy-nominated journalist and award-winning radio host and publicist. Now under her own media company umbrella, Jennifer Herron produces the national radio show The Crook and Chase Countdown, as well as handling public relations for several entertainers. Say hello to the voice with a smile, Jennifer Herron. Jennifer, can you say hello?
Hello. You know who gave me that name, Bobby Jean? Lynn Anderson.
Oh, Cowgirl Delight.
Right. She is the one. She came in to WSM to talk to me one time, and she said, "You always sound like you're smiling when you're talking." So that's who named me that. I didn't name myself that.
Oh, I love that. And we know that Bobby Marquez is also with you. So Jim has a little something to say about Bobby. Go ahead, Jim.
Speaking of smiles, with his characteristic smile and refreshing, heartfelt, honky-tonk style, our next guest, Bobby Marquez, wows audiences around the globe. That music has earned this Texas-born singer-songwriter some notable honors with a Grammy-considered song, multiple Academy of Western Artists Awards, CMA of Texas Awards, and introduction into the legendary Wheeling Jamboree. He is seen on national television shows, and his music is heard worldwide on radio. Please welcome Bobby Marquez.
Hey, welcome, Bobby. Say hello.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
We're doing great. We're so glad. We had a little technical glitch, but we've got you with us. Even though we don't see your smiling faces, we hear those great voices. We are going to be watching our time because we got just a tad of a late start. So, Jennifer, I'm going to kind of start with you. We would love to hear you tell us a little bit about your background and then how you found yourself doing publicity and becoming a publicist.
A long story short, I grew up in South Texas, San Antonio area, outside of San Antonio in the country, on a quarter horse ranch. And I was a rodeo queen as a teenager. And when I did the rodeo queen circuit and they interview you on TV and radio, that was my first introduction to TV and radio. Fast forward in college, I studied broadcast journalism and spent time in radio and TV in San Antonio before moving over to Nashville to follow Bobby, actually. He was over here doing music and I wanted to be over here part of it, and had the blessing to work at WSM Radio and TV over here as well. And while I was at WSM Radio, I met one of the guys that I was probably the biggest fan of ever, and that was Rex Allen Jr. Wow. And in 2015, my daddy became ill with pancreatic cancer, and I went back down to Texas to help take care of him. It was a really hard time, and Rex Allen Jr. called me and said, "Jennifer, I'm about to retire from touring. And I know you've done some things with Bobby before, helping, you know, with some PR stuff. I'd like you to handle my PR." So Rex Allen Jr. got me launched in entertainment publicity. It was Rex.
Oh,
and I love Rex.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So one question that I have for you, since you've worked with lots of different clients, is there a client out there that you would love to represent that isn't in your umbrella yet?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it would be somebody legendary, and it would probably be somebody Western or cowboy-like, you know. Gosh, I would like to work with Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
Isn't that a crazy, crazy far reach, you know? I think he still has so much to offer. But I love these geniuses that keep reinventing themselves over the years. I think he is one of those. And I would love the opportunity to get inside of his world and soak up some of his genius. Because as my daddy said, you never know it all. You're always learning from other people. And I think I could absorb so much from somebody like a Clint Eastwood, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a good, I know you have at least one question for Jennifer.
Well, we have a question, you know, we get on the board. What are key questions to ask when looking for a publicist? But first, what do you look for in a client?
Mm-hmm. You know, both of us have to work hand in hand. There has to be good communication.
Exactly.
And I have certain principles I was raised on, and I stand by those. I'm an honest person, and I believe in hard work. And so the people that I work with, I prefer to work with somebody who is honest and somebody who will work hard. Because I can get out there and work hard for you, but if you won't uphold your end, we're partners in this. I mean, some people will hire a manager and expect them to do everything. It's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
It is a partnership at all times. That's why they call it teamwork. So if they'll do hard work along with me, I'll work as hard as I can. And I'm an honest person. I expect them to be honest. And we have to communicate because, again, it's teamwork at all times. So those are things I look for.
In this day and age of people trying to do everything themselves, we talk to a lot of authors and we know they're out there putting their tours together and trying to find festivals and all that type of thing. What is something that they would look to a publicist to help them do that they could certainly work with you, but also kind of take it off the plate so they can go back to being creative? What are some of the things that you do as a publicist for them?
A lot of times we're about networking and connecting and getting a hype and a story built around the artist. You know, I think it's difficult sometimes, even though they're proud of their music and know they have talent, to stand up there and brag on themselves. And that's kind of where the publicist comes in. We brag about them. We're constantly contacting people to make them aware of what all's going on with this person and show the value of that person and how they will, in fact, bring value to their events, their TV shows, or whatever somebody might have going on. But the more awareness there is of the artist, the more that usually comes their way. Shows, stories on TV, radio airplay, that kind of thing. And so it's my job to let people know about them, sell them, brag on them. And a lot of times I find that hard. Some people find it hard, you know, the artists. They don't can't want to stand up there and go, haven't you heard about me? I'm the best thing since sliced bread. But I can say it,
that's
and it won't
true.
Sound
you
bad.
Can say
you know what I'm saying?
I've been on the receiving end of your press releases coming through my mailbox for a very long time. And you have brought to my attention performers that I wasn't familiar with before. I always look for when I see your name in my mailbox, I'm always, that's like one of the first emails I open.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's go ahead and let's bring Bobby on. Let's say hello to Bobby and hear that handsome, wonderful voice that he has.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing great. We're so excited to have you both with us tonight. Do you have a question?
Well, thank
for
you
Bobby?
So much for having us. This is fun.
Oh, it is. It's fun. Good. We're having a ball.
Yeah, I have a question, which I kind of asked you the other night, but you know, you started at a young age in the music business, you know, kind of a little bit differently. How kind of tell us about that?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, well, it goes back. I was probably about 13 years old, Jim, and my cousin, me and him were really, really close, a cousin of mine. I grew up in a little town called Freer, Texas, so there was a lot of not a lot of things to do, but sports and music was one of them. But me and my cousin, we were really, really close, so I used to go over there like almost all the time, and we play football and baseball and all kinds of stuff. Well, I went over there one afternoon, and I walked into his room, And he had this little Martin Marquis guitar, and I still have that guitar today. But he was sitting there trying to play it, and he was sitting there on his bed and trying to strum it and play it, and he couldn't get his fingers working, and he was mad at it and cussing and all kinds of stuff, right? And anyway, so he looked at me and he said, I can't play this thing. And he says, I'm just going to throw it in the trash. And I said, what do you mean you're going to throw it in the trash? I said, it's beautiful. And he just kind of looked at me and said, no, I don't want this guitar anymore. So he actually went outside and threw it in the trash. And when I was fixing to leave, I asked him, I said, if you're going to throw that thing in the trash and leave it there, I said, can I grab it and take it home? He said, I don't care. Do whatever you want with it. So I went outside and I had grabbed the guitar out of the trash can. And I went home and got me a little chord book. And I started to learn how to play the guitar.
Oh, that is such a great story. Bobby, we're going to play a little bit of a song of yours right now that is one of my favorites, The Cowboy Way. And so would you take a couple moments and just set up this song for us? And then we're not going to be able to play the whole thing just based on time, but we're going to get enough of it, I think, to give our audience a feel for you. So tell us about The Cowboy Way.
This was a song that that I wrote for my late father-in-law, Wayne Heron. And he was a true cowboy, I mean, through and through. And it talks about integrity and about you know, growing up and being a cowboy. But always, you know, like they always have the sayings where you have, like, do things the right way, you know. And cowboys always have those types of sayings, right? So we put all that incorporated in the song. And you know, before my father-in-law died, he got to hear this song, and it's a song dedicated to him.
Wonderful. Sam, let's have The Cowboy Way.
A cowboy hat and old starched blue jeans cast a shadow in the Texas sun. In the dust are the handsome looks of a hard-working legend. 8 seconds on a bull ride and breaking bronc horses and roping cattle all day. But there's more to being a real cowboy. For there's a cowboy way. So listen to the words they're saying. There's no such word as can't. Always tell the truth and stick to a promise, 'cause that's the cowboy way.
We just heard The Cowboy Way, Bobby Marquez, singer, songwriter. Bobby, that is such a powerful song.
What a great song.
Isn't that a great song? You know, and the great Rex Island Jr. produced that. And also, he also played some of the instruments on it as well.
Oh. You know, I finally had an opportunity.
Bobby, that actually was my first cowboy song that I ever wrote. Can you believe that? And having Rex Island Jr. produce it, I mean, how good can you get with that?
Well, you set the bar pretty high for yourself with that song as your first cowboy western song. And did I read that it's used at the Gene Autry Museum, the one in Oklahoma?
Yes, it's the theme song for them as well. And I couldn't thank them enough for doing that. You know, it's my father-in-law. He left that cowboy legacy, and it's living on right now. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, you're also the host and founder of a very important benefit for St. Jude Children's Hospital. You want to tell us a little bit about that special event?
Yeah, I started the event about 7 or 8 years ago in hopes to raise money for the Children of St. Jude, and also one of my number one fans who we just lost this year, Petey Northrup. He used to come out and watch me a lot of casinos, and he was the reason why I started the whole thing. He was also a St. Jude child, and we've raised like tons of money over the years, and we have a lot of the stars that come out and donate their time, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful, thing that we've built. And I mean, it's called Country with Heart. It's what it is. It's called Country mm-hmm. with Heart, and I mean, I just hope just to keep continuing it, and people keep coming out and donate their money, and you know, we're just going to try to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a question for both of you. We are going to have the chance mm-hmm. to meet you in November here in Albuquerque at the International yeah. Western Music Association Conference. And Jennifer, you're doing a workshop. I would love for you to chat a little bit about people who come for that workshop. What can they expect?
It's a workshop on interviews, and it's kind of from both of my perspectives as doing radio hosting and being the interviewer, and also as a producer. You had mentioned I produce the Crook and Chase Countdown, which is a national radio show. So just picking up on things that we look for with that, and also as a publicist when I'm pitching people and what they're looking for in these interviews as well. So it's multifaceted of what can help you hopefully within these interviews to elevate you, whether it's more airplay, more appearances, and help you get your message across, even on stage, because on stage, a lot of times time is the element, like you said, even on this interview, so you can get the message across concisely and impactful, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And Bobby, you're performing during the event. When do you happen to have in front of you when you're going to? Yeah.
You know, I'm really, really excited because I have been trying to get on this show for a long time, and finally it's happening on November the 11th. I think it starts at 7 o'clock is what the time is, but it's going to be the Western Opry. And I can't wait for that. And then the next day, I believe between 1 and 5, it's when we're going to have the showcases going on. So I'm going to be doing a showcase on that day as well. So I can't wait. And performing in one of my favorite states in New Mexico. Can't get any better than that.
Well, I know that you're coming with some other people, performers and such, coming for the first time, I think, from our brand new Tennessee chapter of the IWMA, headed up with a president, Gary Holt, who you and I have had on his show, Campfire Cafe. That's where you and I first met. And so we're very excited. There is so much talent in Tennessee heading for New Mexico. It's really going to be fun.
It is. We can't wait. We're so excited for this. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Okay, let's see. Do you have a question for Bobby?
Well, first, Jennifer, we're going to be in your class, just to let you know.
We signed up. We're in your class. We need help on interviewing techniques.
Oh, no. And I want to hear from you as well. So I'm hoping some radio people will come and chime in as well and say, well, Jennifer, yeah, you may be right on this, but maybe not on this. But we'll steer them right and hopefully help each other and make it a wonderful event so we can all benefit from it.
I think it's going to be fun.
Hey, it works, Bobby. I tell you what, you know, when I started working with Jennifer, I was so quiet. I didn't even know how to even really talk much when we did interviews. And now she's got me talking all the time.
Well, now that brings up a good point. So you are a client of Jennifer's. But you're also, the two of you, of course, are very happily married. So I know, Jennifer, you mentioned that you had gone, you had been sort of following him, I think. But how did you two meet?
Oh, goodness. I was a DJ in San Antonio, and Bobby was an up-and-coming singer, and they used to joke, he just asked you out so you'd play his songs on the radio. But he did ask me out, and I was the first DJ, I guess, to play your song over in San Antonio on a show we had called The Lone Star Hour at the famous KKYX, the first radio station to play George Strait's music. Bobby's song played, and it was real popular, and he started opening for all the big stars across Texas. And then when he got a record deal and moved to Nashville, he told me, he said, if you dreamed of this, now's the time to come, Jennifer. And I dropped everything and moved up to Nashville with a U-Haul trailer. And thank goodness they hired me at WSM right away, and my whole life changed. It was just amazing working back at the Opry and everything like that.
Yeah. Bobby, is there anybody you'd love to share the stage with? Anybody on your dream bucket list?
Oh, gosh, yes. George Strait. Great price, too, you know. Ray Price was one of my heroes. I don't know, he's no longer with us anymore, but gosh, I remember one thing about Ray Price. I was doing the Midnight Jamboree. This was a few years ago, and I got to open up the show for him. And I was singing this one song, and I don't even remember what I was singing that night, really, because I was so nervous that night. But I the only thing I can remember is I turned around, and he was behind the stage, you know, behind the curtain, and he was peeking around the corner. And he looked at me, and I turned around. He just gave me the big thumbs up, and I go, "Oh my God, Ray Price gave me a thumbs up." Oh, that was a highlight. That was probably a highlight of my career for sure.
So let's see, Clint Eastwood and George Strait. That sounds, you know, that sounds like, yeah,
that's a pair, isn't it?
We're going to play another. Yes,
I'm sorry.
it'll make both of your days, right? If you ever have the opportunity to work with either one of them. Okay, so I'm kind of looking at time here. So, Bobby, there's another song that we really want to play, and this song is "Speak Love." Do you want to talk a little bit about it before we play it, or when we come back from it?
Well, it's a song that I wrote with the great Karen Staley, a hit songwriter. She's written tons of songs in Nashville. And it's a song about, remember when COVID happened and Facebook was going crazy and everybody was calling each other names and everything? Well, I started thinking back about a verse in the Bible in Psalms where God talks about love is the greatest thing that he's ever given us. And so I had this title called Speak Love in my head, and I had this melody. So I'd asked Karen Staley to get together and help me write the song. And we ended up writing this song. And it's crazy now, Bobby, because everywhere we go, I've never had a song like this in my entire life that gets a standing ovation. And it brings me to tears every time I get a standing ovation on this song. It's one of the best songs I think I've written.
It's a gift. Let's go ahead and listen to Speak Love.
Words have the power of life and death. Those you say out loud and under your breath, they can lift one up or cut one down. Be a joyful noise or an ugly sound. Whether you whisper or you shout, every time you open your mouth, think of the Lord above. Speak love. Angry words can burn like flaming coals, destroying dreams and consuming souls. There are times a knife cuts so far through, no amount of I'm sorry's can undo. So no matter how you feel, you can choose to hurt or heal. Think of the Lord above and speak love. You can curse or find a way. Bless the blessless every day. Be gentle, kind, or sweet. Showing mercy, surrender, and peace. It's just too hard to do. Remember how he talks to you.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking with Jennifer Herron and Bobby Marquez, and we just listened to that great song, Speak Love. You know, Bobby, I got a question. It's a collaboration. This
sure.
song was a collaboration with Karen Staley. Now, how did you meet Karen, and what got you two to thinking you might do a song together?
Well, this is a good story. So when I first moved to Nashville, I knew nobody, okay? And I was trying to find anybody I could write with and just trying to break down any kind of doors. Well, you know, Jennifer, she was kind of in radio at that time. So she had got invited to a party, to a music row party to go to. And Karen Staley was actually there. And she got into a conversation with Karen, and Jennifer said, "Hey, would you like to write with my husband sometime?" And Karen said, "Yeah." And so they exchanged phone numbers, and, you know, and Jennifer had come home and she said, "Oh, you know, I ran into Karen Staley, the hit songwriter, you know, and she said she would want to write with you." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what they always say, right? You know, I'm like, yeah, she's not going to write with me." Oh my goodness. So I got that phone number and I called her and she said yes. And all of a sudden, you know, we started to write a bunch of songs. A song called That's Life was my first song that I wrote with her. That was on my first album. And it was a song that I wrote about growing up in a small little town in Texas and about my grandmother. And then after that, we just kind of hit it off. And we've got a great writing relationship. And I've learned so much from her, you know, on how to write songs, because she's great with lyrics. And that was the one thing that I was never really good at. I was always really good at writing melodies, you know. I always had great melodies in my head. And Karen, she knew that I had great melodies, but it was always something that I just had to work on the lyrics. And so over the years, she helped me hone those skills. And because it's not easy, it's hard. You know, it's hard to write a good song. And
exactly.
It's like, you know, Karen always told me, she said, "Bobby," she said, "all my hit songs that I've written, God, I probably wrote like 2,000 or 3,000 songs before I had a hit song," you know, and it's very, very true, you know, because those types of writers like that, they write constantly, like 100 songs a week when they're writing for a publishing company.
Wow.
But I'm not that type of songwriter. I'm more of an impactful songwriter. Like if I catch, you know, melodies in my head, if I'm driving down the road or mowing the yard, something that'll hit me, that's the way I write.
Mm-hmm. When you collaborated with her, did you do it like together, you know, in the same room? Today, I know lots of people are doing it over Zoom or email, or did you just work one-on-one until the song was crafted?
Yeah, well, you know, what's crazy was most of the songs that we wrote in person together, but Speak Love, that song that you just played, we actually did that by texting and talking on the phone, which was weird because it was during the COVID time. So, you know, we were able to pull it off, which I was really nervous about because I didn't think we'd be able to pull it off and write a good song that way. But I'm starting to think that maybe we should start doing that more often.
How do you keep track of, I'm looking at time now and we only have 5 minutes left total. How do you keep track of those melodies that float around or a possible song title? How do you keep track?
You know, Jennifer had bought me a little recorder that I got for Christmas one time. And so I just kind of record anything I'm humming or whatever, I'll record it on that little recorder. And then, I don't know, maybe sometimes I'll have lyrics that'll fit it. Or maybe, you know, a few months or a year even goes by and I'll have maybe lyrics that fit that melody. It just depends, you know. And then sometimes I'll write a song right then and there. I mean, it'll just come to me and I'll write the whole thing then and there. Or sometimes I'll need help and Karen will help me. Jennifer's even a songwriter too. She's even written some songs with me, a song called What's the Deal? It was a melody that I had for a very, very long time. But she had the idea for that song. And so we started writing that together. So she's a writer too. You need to talk to her about maybe some songwriting. But she's
I actually have that question right here in my list of questions. let's see. Okay, so Bobby, do you have a tip for songwriters?
Yeah, you know, the biggest tip that I have is a lot of songwriters and even artists, you know, they don't take information from other songwriters and other artists, you know. Over the time, I mean, you know, I always thought that people were being rude to me or other songwriters or artists were being rude to me by saying, "Hey, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to work on your lyrics, you need to work on your melodies. But, you know, they're just trying to make you better. And if you just hang in there and just try to hone your skills, you know, because even the hit songwriters that are even writing hit songs, they're still learning new stuff every day. It's not just the new guys, you know. So just hang in there and just, you know, keep at it and keep writing as much songs as you can.
And Jennifer,
eventually you're going to hit one.
Yeah, eventually you're going to hit one. Yeah. Jennifer, do you have a tip for DJs that are interviewing their guests?
Yeah, I do. one of my pet peeves is somebody who likes to think they sound like they know it all, I guess, you know? And so y'all did a great interview, but people that will just rattle off, you know, a resume to somebody and then go, okay, now say something, you know, and they leave the artist with nothing to say, you know, and kind of backed up against the wall. So I would hope that DJs would give them a chance to tell their story, you know, and just lead them, you know, lead them into their story, just like you did today. Y'all did amazing. I was so complimented by everything y'all asked me and everything. But yeah, too many times I think people get caught up in their own little world and being in the spotlight and then don't give the other person opportunity. Yeah.
I can see that. Okay, so we need to quickly let people know, where can they find you, follow you and such?
Well, for me, you can go to www.bobbymarquez.com, and that's BobbyMarquez.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/BobbyMarquezMusic is where I put a lot of stuff out there, too, with all my dates and everything. So you can keep up with me that way as well.
Yeah, I have a website, but I don't, you know, have updates on it necessarily. So Facebook is usually a good place to find me, Jennifer Herron, and it's H-E-R-R-O-N.
Perfect. Well, we really want to thank you both for being with us tonight. And we know we got a little late start. So next year we have to do this all over again.
I know.
Next year we'll find a way to be live on, you know, on camera.
But thank you so much. And I'm just going to kind of wrap us up right now. So next week, our guest is poet Tom Swearingen, and we'll be talking about his book of poetry, Reflection, and we'll be talking all about cowboy poetry with Tom. We have our parting quote for today. Do you want to read the parting quote? I have it right here. And Bobby even commented on something that's sort of in
he
this
did?
Quote. Yes, he talked about where ideas come from.
This is from Willie Nelson. When I'm driving the highway by myself, is when I write best.
So on behalf of Jim and me and our guest tonight, Jennifer Herron and Bobby Marquez, remember, it's always a great day out west.
Amen.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.